Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we'll chant together text 15, and we're supposed to cover 14 and 15. No, we'll chant together 14 and cover 14 and 15, that's it. So Canto 10, chapter 25, text 14. Shila Varshati Vatena Hanyamanam Achetanam Niriksha Bhagavan Nene Kupitendra Kritam Harihi Shila Varshati Vatena Hanyamanam Achetanam Niriksha Bhagavan Nene Gupitendra Kritam Harihi. Please chant Karunanidhi. Shila Varshati Vatena Hanyamanam Achetanam Niriksha Bhagavan Nene Kopitendra Kritam Hari Shila Varshati Vatena Hanyamanam Achetanam Niriksha Bhagavan Mene Kupitendra Kritam Harihi Shila Varshati Vatena Hanyamanam Achetanam Niriksha Bhagavan Mene Kupitendra Kritam Harihi Shila Varshati Vatena Sheila. Sheilas were falling from the sky. Of hailstones. Varsha, by the rain. Ati vatena, and by the extreme wind. Hanyamanam, being attacked. Achetanam, unconscious. Niriksha, seeing. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mene, considered. Kopita, angry. Indra, by Indra. Kritam, done. Harihi, Lord Hari. Translation, seeing the inhabitants of his Gokula rendered practically unconscious by the onslaught of hail and blasting wind, the Supreme Lord Hari understood that this was the work of angry Indra, Kupita Indra. Purport, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that the severe distress Indra apparently inflicted upon the residents of Vrindavan was an arrangement made by Sri Krishna's pastime potency to enhance the loving dealings between the residents and the Lord. The Acharya gives the analogy that for a hungry person, the pain of hunger increases the happiness he feels when he finally eats excellent food, and thus hunger can be said to enhance the pleasure of eating. Similarly, the residents of Vrindavan, although not experiencing ordinary material anxiety, felt a type of distress at the activities of Indra and thus intensified their meditation on Krishna. When the Lord finally acted, the result was wonderful. So we'll read the verse and purport to 15 as well. But I have the commentaries, so I'm going to read the commentaries. Start with Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Even before getting information that the rain was created by Indra, Krishna could understand that Indra was responsible. The difficulties of Krishna's eternal devotees was manifest before him through the Lila Shakti for the purpose of tasting with complete satisfaction the sweetness of prema. It is like the hunger pangs when a person is very hungry, when one finally gets food and is satisfied, the hunger pangs are also a type of happiness. So remember that when you're hungry. Jiva Goswami, the people were being beaten by strong winds, loaded with rain and hail. Goloka became almost unconscious because of this. Krishna surmised that it was the work of Indra. And Sanatan Goswami, directly seeing Niriksha, the people afflicted with fainting, achetanam, Krishna could understand, since he is omniscient and capable of destroying all faults and suffering, by lifting Govardhan, he would destroy Indra's pride and destroy the people's suffering. Okay. And then text 15 translation, BBT has no purport. Sri Krishna said to himself, because we have stopped his sacrifice, Indra has caused this unusually fierce, unseasonable rain together with terrible winds and hail. This verse, text 15, finds its way in a number of references in the whole Leela by commentaries by our acharyas. It marks a point where Krishna is expressing his thoughts. I mean, the previous verse is also his thoughts, but here it's specifically he's stating. So it's kind of a transition point between what was going on before and what's going to happen next. Vishwanath's commentary, understanding that it was Indra's work, Krishna spoke to them, residents of Vrindavan, in five verses. The excessive hail, sila mayam, was unseasonable, belonging to a season already past. Jiva Goswami. Krishna then thinks to himself in great anger in five verses. The verses will be explained separately. Krishna stopped the sacrifice. Okay, so that gives an explanation of the Sanskrit. This, the verses explain that this is happening because Krishna stopped the sacrifice. Or it can indicate a show of boldness in Krishna to break Indra's pride. Indra pours down rain to destroy Gokula. However, he pours rain actually to destroy his own pride. Okay. And there's some interesting detail. Well, I'll read. This is Jiva Goswami in his commentary on the 10th canto. Padma Purana says, well, go back one sentence. Because we have stopped his sacrifice, Indra has caused this unusually fierce wind. Padma Purana says that after offering lamps on the dark moon, in the morning one should worship Govardhan, and in the evening begin playing dice. Hari Vansha describes that the event took place between monsoon and autumn, like the border between the ocean and the shore. This is because sometimes the monsoon continues through all the Ashvina month, thus including the first part of autumn, in the middle states. They're indicating when this Govardhan Leela took place, based upon the unseasonable nature of heavy wind, heavy rain, hailstorms, which may happen during monsoon, but not during this month. So the unseasonable nature. Krishna's Leela Shakti is the focus that Vishwanath places on this. Misfortune. There's the material and the spiritual misfortune. Now, spiritual misfortune may look like material misfortune. Or let's say it differently. What's the difference between spiritual and material? Material is not seeing Krishna, or the connection of something with Krishna, that's the material object and material consciousness and material life, forgetting Krishna. And spiritual means to see the connection of things, objects, and events and experiences of life in relation to Krishna. No, there's the consequence of material consciousness has its consequence, and it's a karmic consequence. And karma comes back, and when karma comes back, one feels karmically, emotionally something, like what's happening in the world these days. A pandemic, and so it's, we understand it's karmic related, You know, and different people have their different understandings of what it's related to. You know, astrologers take a look at it from an astrology point of view and so forth and so on. But from a Bhagavad point of view, what we're passing through is a karmic reaction, completely understandable from a karmic point of view. How it began, that's a detail. I mean, it's an important detail. But it's not that one can stop karma by simply change of diet. I mean, the common understanding out there, this is not exactly a Bhagavatam portion of the morning class, but there's in a Wuhan marketplace, people eating something that was carrying the virus that the animal or whatever it was immune to, and then somebody ate that carcass or whatever it was, and then they ingested the virus, and then it spread. So uncontrolled senses results in that person, but then it goes beyond that person by the consent of the personality Godhead. So a worldwide karma. And it's not that everybody that does something bad is going to get this particular reaction, but you know, everyone is experiencing different degrees of difficulty or lifestyle change or whatever. The ordinary isn't anymore for everybody. So there's the material distress, and then there's the distress of the residents of Braja, or the distress of someone that's in spiritual consciousness. And in this particular incident, the Vishwanath is disclosing, it's the Lord's Lila Shakti, and it's purposeful. The purposefulness for the residents of Vrindavan is to, in that situation of distress, have them take greater shelter in Krishna, something very similar to what we understand about the Pandavas and Queen Kunti and the distresses they were put through, and then Krishna solved the distress problem, you know, what the problem was. But there was a Lila Shakti purpose. One was to strengthen the connection of the Pandavas and Kunti with Krishna, here the resident of Vrindavan with Krishna. And the comparison is being made to a hungry person, and when there's finally the opportunity to take a meal, then there's a happiness even in what that hunger was, because the eating process has made things so nice. So even that distress or difficulty or whatever from hunger was nice. Now, there's voluntary hunger, like fasting, and that's nice. The performance of austerities for Vaishnavas on Ekadasis and appearance days of the Lord and so forth, that's beneficial. In the scriptures, we hear again and again and again and again the personality of Godhead speaking to a devotee, "You pleased me very much by your austerities," like Sutapa and Prishni or Dhruva or others. "You pleased me very much by your austerities." Now, it's not just the austerities, because they're tapasvis, they do lots of austerities. It's the purpose behind the austerity for the devotee. It's to connect with the personality of Godhead, and it's a demonstration of I'm willingly accepting some inconvenience of my body and mind in order to focus more on the personality of Godhead. That's with a dhruva pastime, for example, with a dhruva pastime, in different audiences, I've been asking, just as, you know, to get the ball rolling, when you think of dhruva, what do you think of? What comes to mind? And determination. So then a natural question is how to increase one's determination. And one of the answers, there's many, but one of the answers Prabhupada gave in a lecture in Los Angeles, which is voluntarily accepting some tapasya helps to increase determination. So one can say tapasya is a manifestation of one's determination, or the other way. Tapasya can help increase one's determination. So our tapasya is pretty simple. It's not what Dhruva did, and it's not what Suttapan Prishni did, but it's prescribed by our acharyas, you know, the simple tapasya of the regular principles and others, rise early and so forth. We have our very simple, but built into the very simple, there's cleansing of sin and connecting with the Supreme. Letting go of affinity for acting separately from the personality of Godhead and connecting with acting in favor of the personality of Godhead. And that's, there are degrees of doing that, certainly. There's degrees of austerity that one might undergo during Kartik month or during Janmashtami or during Ekadasis. Just like, another very simple example, for deity worship, there's very simple and there's more elaborate and there's very elaborate and there's devotees that they're just like, whew. You know, the details and details and details of things that they enjoy in worship of the personality Godhead in various sacrifices and pujas and yagyas and all those things. It just, you know, the details are, can be quite elaborate. The essence is not in the detail. The essence is in the essence. The essence is in the submission to Krishna. So undergoing, foregoing some things over there so we can do some things over here, the things over here that are spiritual in nature, that displaces the things over there. In other words, somebody that has inclination to do deity worship in a very detailed way. Persons that have inclination to accept increasingly strong vratas, both in the positive and negative. So let's say Kartik vrata. Beneficial. And there's degrees of Kartik vratas. But the essence is not the severity of the vrata. The essence is the submission to Damodar and the auspiciousness of that month. And then in turn manifest by, so one helps the other, what I'm trying to say here. The austerities may help to make wet wood dry. And then the dry wood can ignite, but it's the fire is what's important, not just the making the wet wood dry. The purpose is to bring one closer to Krishna. So now here we are in Vrindavan, and the residents of Vrindavan, they don't have any affinity for the temporary. They're beyond that, way beyond that. And still, there's a circumstance that's distressful. So that doesn't seem nice. Why would Krishna do that? They're his dear devotees. He's in control of the whole situation. So one of the dimensions is the Lord Lila Shakti to bring them closer to him. Including, you know, it looked like they're going to die. The whole of Vrindavan, because that was Indra's intent, the whole of Vrindavan was flooded. Hailstorms, blasting wind, nearly becoming unconscious. That's what the text says. Now, how can Krishna let his devotees go through that? To strengthen their attachment to him. And then, on the other side, is Krishna, by his own intention, curbing the pride of Indra. Krishna wanted to curb the pride of Indra because Indra's a nice devotee. He's a very exalted devotee. He's king of heaven. But pride. And Krishna doesn't like pride. So one of Krishna's intentions, another one of Krishna's intentions, is to curb Indra's pride. And then another one of Krishna's intentions is to give us the opportunity to become purified by hearing about his pastimes. Because I've been teaching the Dhruva story again and again, one of the things that Narada recommends in his austerity or his going to Madhuvan and doing what he did was fix his mind upon the activities of the personality of Godhead. Now, he's a little boy, 6 years old. So, what does he know? He doesn't know what, you know, a great elevated soul will know. But to become an elevated soul, that was one of the instructions. Same for us. So, how much we understand about Krishna's pastimes is going to be modest. But the potency will cleanse. The potency of chanting will cleanse. The potency of hearing and remembering the subject matters of Srimad Bhagavatam, because they're all fully transcendental sound. Our understanding may be very modest, but the cleansing is taking place. And as the cleansing is taking place, the coverings of ignorance, etc., etc., become reduced, and light becomes brighter, and we can understand more and understand more, and it's progressive until we can understand ourselves and understand Krishna. That's the goal. So the means takes us to the goal, and when one reaches the goal, one continues the means, because the means and the goal don't have that big gap of distinction. The means and the goal. So this is Krishna's accomplishing multiple things at one time. And something that I find quite mysterious is this is Krishna's Leela Shakti, and he's involved in the Leela. Like he's surmising this means that, you know, rational faculty. We're familiar with that territory. But Krishna's, obviously, he's enjoying seeing this. This means that. He knows perfectly well, but he's enjoying that position. And that this is, 15 is the first, as we hear, of four more verses that are covering Krishna's contemplations, enjoying his own Leela. The Leela is for the pleasure of the residents of Vrindavan. The Leela is to curb the pride of Indra. and the Leela is for his own pleasure that he's enjoying, surmising, and then considering what's next. But, you know, he already knows what's next, but he's considering what's next. I find it fascinating. It's something like what in the Dhruva story, because I've been so involved in it, Vishnu tells Dhruva what's next, and then what's next, and then what's next. And it sure enough, it happens exactly that way. And Narada, one of the things Vishnu says is your stepmother's, your brother's going to die, and your stepmother is going to die. And he gives the, you know, how it's going to happen. Before it happened. Because, you know, it's his drama. But he's telling Dhruva because Dhruva had it now gone, but previously had this get back mentality towards his stepmother and also some unhappiness towards his brother, whatever you might want to call that unhappiness, jealousy or something. Later, he got completely changed because he became purified. Or when Narada went to visit the king, Dhruva's father, said, "Don't worry, your son is already famous, and within 6 months he'll be back, and he'll be a perfected soul, and everything's going to be nice, don't worry." Now, before it all happened, he'll undergo austerities that even the greatest of yogis and those striving perfection, kings, demigods, couldn't do. He's going to do. But, you know, he's Trikalagya. So, certainly Krishna's Trikalagya. But he's, you know, making a plan. What's next? What am I going to do next? It's fascinating. He's enjoying. How do we understand? He's enjoying. He enjoys it. We enjoy that. But, you know, why do we enjoy that? Because it's there in Krishna. But our intuitive or reflective or reasoning process is defective. And perfected beings, Narada, and the personality Godhead, not defective, but they enjoy it. It's mysterious. And we shouldn't imitate. Okay, let's see if there's some discussion. Anything online? If there's, usually it'll come after a bit. Nothing yet. Okay. Anyone? You are thinking that? Wait till the microphone comes so people can hear.
Like recently they were performing a yagya in Mayapur. It's a Narasimha Homa for the protection of the, I guess, the whole world. So I was thinking, like you were also sharing that in circumstances like this increase the remembrance of Krishna.
Yeah.
So like what could we do? Yeah. So
about?
Like one thing I feel is that like I guess the world needs prayers now, so
yes.
So praying for everybody is one thing, but then there is also a second part where I think that initially we also need strength in order to be able to pray nicely for everybody. So first, how can we increase our own strength as in spiritual strength, and then pass those prayers on to everyone else? So.
Well, we're pretty tiny. And the power of our prayers is pretty tiny. But, you know, collectively, prayer can be of great value. Our primary prayer is the Hare Krishna mantra, and it's not just cute or notional or something like that. It's our faith. It's our teaching and our faith. So, kirtan directed towards, using Prabhupada's language, creating auspiciousness in an atmosphere that's filled with inauspiciousness. So the inauspiciousness is evil deeds. And the root of material existence is fruit of tendencies. So kirtan dedicated to that. It's not just cute. That's the best. There's a little story in Prabhupada Lilamrita that is found, that goes like this. When Prabhupada was 2 years old, in Calcutta there was a plague, and it was, you know, running wild. And when Babaji went to the streets and with some followers engaged in Hare Krishna kirtan, and soon thereafter the plague subsided. Now, maybe the plague subsided, somebody might say, for some other reasons, but that's an appropriate, at least, it's an appropriate shelter to take for you and for us during this time of turmoil. You know, with social distancing. So we're not spreading amongst ourselves. I was informed, I didn't get confirmation, but I was informed that there was some funeral or some gathering in London, and 50 of the congregation members of the Bhaktivedanta Manor came back infected with coronavirus. That's a lot. So when we do kirtan for this purpose, we have to be thoughtful about how we do it. So how, I mean, I'm not going to suggest how to do it. I'm just speaking principle. That's in response to your question. Because a personal appeal is very powerful also. And then there's standard prayers within the Bhagavatam that are very powerful. And reciting those standard prayers is a type of prayer. Reciting standard prayers is a type of prayer. And then the persons with those standard prayers, it has the potency of the Bhagavatam, and it's coming from the pure devotee. So those are nice prayers. It may be not specific to the situation, but it's the principle behind the specifics of the situation. People's misdeeds and fruitive intentions in their lifestyle. Being in Maya. That's the root. And therefore, the world goes around.
I have a follow-up, Maharaj. You were sharing how our prayers, and we are very tiny.
How what?
How our prayers, and we are very tiny.
Yeah.
So, I was thinking, like, how do we deepen that faith that despite how tiny we are, we just continue and continue and continue? Well,
there's two that come to mind. Krishna is very kind, even though you're tiny, he's not. And that you have faith in our process of connecting with Krishna. Faith in Krishna and faith in the process of connecting. Because what are you going to do? Because you're tiny. But we have a process, even though you're tiny, and you follow the process because of faith in the process that comes ultimately from Krishna. So that's the strength that keeps you going. Because what else are you going to do? Throw your hands up in the air and scream. Someone else?
Thank you.
Okay. Can we give the microphone? Shravan, pay attention.
This is from one Archana Vaidya. Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, how to understand our capacity to take up voluntary austerity, or how much can we take up?
Well, how to understand or how much we can take up. It takes a little intelligence, and without intelligence, one is in a soup. But, you know thyself, know your, you know, the psychophysical nature you have, and you know, it's like yoga. With yoga, how far can you stretch? Well, you know, until it hurts. But, you know, you stop before it hurts, and you just, you know, gradually. So, same with yoga or physical therapy or something. You have your, you know, the standard, and you stretch a little bit. That's a good formula. How much? A little bit. And then you do that little bit, and it becomes, you know, for some period of time, it becomes easy. After some period of time, and then you stretch a little more like that. So that's an intelligent approach. It's an incremental response. Is how much? That's, you know, don't do too much. But do something. Something that's sustainable and something that's not going to end up where, oh, I couldn't do it, so then I feel bad about myself because I couldn't do it. So just a little bit and keep, you know, reasonable. Reasonable. That's the intelligence factor. Anything else? Okay, Srila Prabhupada. Key? Time.